The Mike and Mondo Show was filmed in front of a live studio audience. Miguel, laugh.
You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Hey, boys and girls, guys and gals, and everyone in between, you are listening to episode 20 of the MemoCast. My name is Mike.
I'm Armando, and I thought I told you to stop saying that.
Not as often.
Okay, right, that's true. You haven't said it in a really long time.
I've been on the show in a really long time. It's like third episode back.
Nah, you were here last week.
Yeah, I said it's my third episode back.
Oh, they said it was three episodes back. I was like, no. Yeah, so today, interesting show. We're going to talk about huge topic in regards to DC. They finally announced like their tentative movie slate, which had been leaked beforehand, but it wasn't quite as detailed and some things got shifted around.
Yes.
Talking about that, talking about hoverboards, talking about Gamergate, talking about a little bit of wrestling, and talking about Stanley's Kamikaze Expo and some comics. So it's a fun episode.
Yeah, this is our pre-Halloween episode. So
spooky.
Yeah, so like next week is gonna be our episode's gonna be right before Halloween. So next week's gonna be like the spoopy episode.
The spoopy?
Yeah, it's gonna be so spoopy.
So, yeah, I don't know what spoopy is, but it'll be very that. Cool. So
it's spooky poop.
Well, I mean, every episode's poop if you think about it. So this song is scary.
Yeah. I think that's what's so scary is that we've been doing this for 20 episodes, and it's still poop.
It's still poop. It's a crop.
And over 100 of you tune in and listen every week. Okay. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for downloading us, listening to us on Wreck-It.
They have nothing better to do.
I know.
Whatever. Speaking of nothing better to do, so before we sat down and recorded this week's episode, I showed Michael the newest big thing in the internet for wrestling is RKO Vines.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
That was pretty funny. I think after a while it got like that rule of comedy Mr. Beal taught us was like at first something, okay, something's funny. And then, like, you've done it for so long that it stops becoming funny.
Yeah.
And then you hit that golden moment where it comes back, and it's like, okay, it's funny again.
Yeah.
And I think at first, like, okay, oh, RKO out of nowhere. Oh, he's slithering out of, oh, RKO in midair.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I was like, all right, this is getting kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And then when the two babies were sitting in the kitchen, and the RKO is the one baby, and then the other baby starts talking and just, like, falls sideways out of he does both of them. I thought that was the funniest thing.
The best one is where like the video pauses at that moment he knew Randy Orton was near and he gets RKO'd into the storage shelf like trailer.
That was pretty funny too.
I feel bad for that guy because you know that had to have fucking hurt.
Yeah, his face was completely busted.
I feel bad about laughing people getting injured, but you know what, they're all okay. Randy Orton's okay. It's all that matters.
Yep.
Speaking of which, Randy Orton and John Cena headlining Hell in a Cell this Sunday.
Oh,
I know.
Are we gonna watch that?
Yeah. I'm going to the IE Zine Fest right after work, really quickly, just to check that out, and then I'm gonna come back and just kind of start it a little bit later, so I can like fast forward through boring shit.
Okay.
But yeah, I would say maybe convene here around 6.
Okay.
6 or 7. Yeah, because the pre-show, this pay-per-view sucks. It's because you know how, like, Miz has, like, Miz TV?
No, but it sounds terrible.
It's usually kind of funny, and it usually gives a way to, like, push, like, the storyline. Like, the last episode of Miz TV, they had John Cena and Dean Ambrose, and, like, pretty much evolved into, like, the Miz being like, oh, I'm the real star, blah, 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 why are we paying attention to you guys? And then John Cena and Dean Ambrose were kind of like, there's one thing we can agree on, nobody likes the Miz. And then they beat the crap out of him, and then it was over.
I would pay, like, $1 to see that.
Yeah.
Definitely not $9.99.
But this pay-per-view isn't Miz TV. It's his stunt double, Damian Mizdow TV. So it's like, that is arguably the dumbest thing they've done in a while. Like,
okay, seriously, WWE, the fuck? Why haven't you not called us yet? Did you not hear that awesome dream that I had last episode? I could make your company millions.
Hello? Yes. Yes. Randy Orton says, "That's an awful nice face you got there, Mike. Would be a shame if someone were to RKO it out of nowhere."
Yeah, I know that you're lying because my face is not nice at all. I have the worst case of neck-bearded baby face ever.
Yeah.
And it's just not attractive.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, it's funny because like...
Well, fuck you. What a friend. Like, I'm over here dumping on myself and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you. Who knows you better than you?
That's true.
If you shouldn't have said it.
I know. I'm a piece of shit.
I'm not going to fight with you.
All right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, the whole, like, I hated the whole Miz having a stunt double until they went so far with it that it actually worked really well, to the point where they gave his stunt double his own fake Intercontinental Championship belt. And, like, he would copy all his moves, like, as they would walk out together, like just move for move. Like, they somehow got in sync. Like, one of the best moments is when they give Kane like a fruit basket to like apologize for yelling at him at Raw like a week ago, and then Kane's like, "I'm putting you in the match," blah blah blah, and then the Miz gets so mad that they huff out the room, and then Miz Dow comes back and he grabs the basket and he goes, and then he walks away.
Okay, I stand corrected from my statement last week where I said that Dean Ambrose was becoming a cartoon character.
Yeah.
I think the WWE in general is just becoming cartoons.
Yeah. I'm waiting for they even have a bunny wrestling.
What?
Yeah, Adam Rose and the bunny, because he has his entourage, the what are they called? The Something Express. I always forget what they're called. Anyway, so one of the characters was the bunny, and so there was one match where someone tried to beat up the bunny, and then the bunny fought back, and then they actually started pushing the bunny a little bit, like in tag team matches. Apparently the bunny is NXT superstar Sami Zayn, but they haven't revealed it yet.
Okay. I was actually just about to ask you, like, are we talking about, like, a real fucking rabbit? Like, they bring out, like, a...
No, it's a guy in a bunny suit.
Okay.
But he's billed as the bunny. I'll show you the bunny super kicking somebody in a minute.
Okay.
After the break.
Yeah.
During the break.
You would be really cool if they gave him, okay, like, that would be an interesting, like, persona to have, except give him, like, the Donnie Darko, like, bunny mask. Like, that would be interesting. Like, yeah. You know, it'd almost be, like, kind of like a Wyatt's thing, and then he just, like, has this mask that he comes out and beats crap out of people.
Yeah, but he's not, like, dark. He's just, like... Because, like, everyone in the Exotic Express, everyone's dressed up as, like, someone's a hot dog. There's a bunch of, like, it's like a party crew that comes out, and they're like, yeah! I'm not even joking. And then, so, one of the funny matches was when Adam Rose and the Bunny took on Slater Gator, which was Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil, they're like the new Rock and Sock connection, but they're also heels, and it's really weird. But I like it because their theme song is awesome.
I think you're in an emotionally abusive relationship with wrestling.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Like, I really, like, being an expert in being in emotionally abusive relationships, I'm starting to see the signs. WWE does something really shitty and you're mad about it.
Yeah.
And you complain, but then WWE tells you to stop complaining.
That doesn't sound like $9.99, Armando.
Exactly. And then you just keep coming back. It just keeps hurting you, and you just keep coming back.
And because when it's bad, but when it's good, baby. Like, have you seen the Monday Night Wars? Have you seen NXT on Thursday nights?
He promised he would stop, but he says he loves me.
He promised Brock Lesnar would come back and drop the belt, but it never happened.
But then they gave me Monday Wars. They promised that they would stop pushing shitty matches like Cena Orton. But then they came back and they have these cool tag teams, and The Miz has a stunt double.
And there's a hot dog cart.
I can't leave now.
It's just starting to change.
You are in an abusive relationship with WWE.
Well, it's not like we don't acknowledge this. You know, I mean, they signed Kenta.
Just keep making it. I can't leave now. All my CDs are in his truck.
I was like, I can't leave now. They just signed all those indie pros, like Kenta and Kevin Steen.
Who we haven't seen at all.
They're in NXT. They're in developmental territory. And they have been seen. In fact, they've been giving Kenta, now going as Hideo Itami, because he doesn't want to lose the copyright to his own goddamn name.
Yeah.
In doubles matches with Prince Devitt, who is now going by Finn Balor. And
I feel like it's comic books now. Like, I feel like it's just become cartoons and comic books. Like, okay, what you have to understand is they totally retconned this guy's name.
They totally retconned his name.
It's like, why? Black Adam, just like,
which is actually the perfect segue into what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
yeah. So, like I said, the big DC news: DC finally unveiled their huge like slate for movies from now until 2020.
Yeah,
and so they start things off with Batman vs Superman: Dawn of Justice,
which is basically just Justice League Part Zero.
Yes, pre Justice League,
.5. Justice League, the prequel,
the pre sequel,
Electric Boogaloo,
the pre sequel retcon.
Origin of Black Adam.
No, and then Suicide Squad that same year, 2017, yeah. Is that Justice League Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then, isn't Wonder Woman also that same year?
I believe Wonder Woman.
And then, as we go down the line, and then it goes Aquaman, and then Shazam, and then Cyborg, and then Green Lantern.
Yeah, and then Justice League Part 2 is in between the late phases. So I think it's like Cyborg and Shazam and Green Lantern are the last three.
Yeah.
And then Justice League.
Is sandwiched right before Shazam.
Yeah. And I think that it's very wise to put Green Lantern last.
Yeah.
Because we were saying before we started recording that we just need to get the taste of the Ryan Reynolds movie out of our mouths.
We do.
We really do.
But before we go into, now that we're on Green Lantern, my question is, are they still going to do Hal Jordan? Are they going to do one of the other Green Lanterns?
I say we do a Black Green Lantern.
We could do Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
I would like to see Jon Stewart.
So as you said, like, I know Jon Stewart, you know, Black Green Lantern, but it's just like Jon Stewart, and he gets up from behind his desk at the Daily Show and becomes the Green Lantern. They actually cast Jon Stewart as Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
And instead of like, he's wearing like the Green Lantern getup, but he also has like a yarmulke and everything, and like,
that'd be kind of interesting. No, out of all the Green Lanterns, I feel like the two best that would work for this situation, it would be, like I said, would be Guy Gardner,
mm-hmm.
or Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
And I would like them to somehow not have it, like, not be a 100% reboot of that old Green Lantern, because the actor who played Sinestro was arguably the best. I don't think they could get a better Sinestro.
I don't think they could. I think they should just retcon it and just recast him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're already having, what, isn't the guy who played Bane, he's going to be in Suicide Squad.
No. They're not bringing Tom Hardy.
What I heard.
I would hope not, because I wasn't really into his portrayal as Bane.
We'll see.
You know, especially because Bane is supposed to be, like, I believe an Argentinian man. And here's a British guy.
Ooh. Yeah, that's true.
Her friend like this. Hello, my name is Bane. Hello there, Batman. Would you like to see my penis?
No, Bane.
It's like the only words you could ever understand Bane saying were Gotham and Batman.
I've heard of Sir Batman.
It's like watching a foreign movie with no subtitles, but he's talking in English.
Yep.
You know, Batman.
No, I would definitely, you know what, I'd definitely be in favor of them recasting it. I never even saw the last Batman movie. I never saw it. Everyone was talking so much crap about it, I was like, it's not even worth my time.
To be honest, yeah, I Redboxed it and watched it twice in a day, and I was like, I am glad I didn't pay for money to see this in theaters. I would be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks because I was like, oh, hey, we got JGL. Mm-hmm. We got, what's-her-face from The Princess Diaries.
Anne Hathaway.
For some reason, I wanted to say something completely different, and I couldn't. I don't know why.
You son of a bitch. Anne Hathaway is a national treasure.
No, Nicolas Cage is a national treasure who starred in National Treasure about National Treasure.
Yeah. Boom. I just saw... I was browsing Tickled, which I'm apt to do from time to time,
yeah.
And someone posted, like, this prank that they pulled on a coworker, mm-hmm. And they posted this big, like, that big, like, Nicolas Cage, like, you don't say face,
yeah.
Above her desk, And it showed her standing on her desk taking it down.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, looks back. And then, like, the kid zooms in and it reveals that he put another smaller Nicolas Cage poster underneath it.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, the funniest fucking thing.
Yeah.
Her just being, like, fucking Nicolas Cage and then tearing it down and then just being a little smaller one. Just being like, hey. Hey. I'm Nicolas Cage.
Big Daddy.
Yep.
No, but... So we'll see how they go Green Lantern choice-wise. Let's talk about who has been casted. So the big ones are... We have Jason Momoa from Game of Thrones as Aquaman. And I think that's an excellent casting choice because when you look at Jason Momoa, like, Aquaman's kind of had like a rough reputation in the comics world. And it's only recently in the past 3 or 4 years been like changed and been seen as more positive. And so it's like when you... cast Jason Momoa, you can't look at that guy and try and make an Aquaman joke. It's like literally impossible.
Yeah,
you know, you look at this guy and he looks like if you say his name wrong, he'll fuck the shit out of you.
he won't fuck you up. He will fuck the shit. He will literally come and fuck you.
Yeah,
until you love him.
No, he will fuck you in the mouth so hard that when he jizzes, it just hits you so hard you shit. Literally fucking...
We just got really graphic there, like...
Well, literally fucking the shit out of you.
Yeah.
No, and on top of that, he's a great actor, so it should be a really interesting thing to see.
Yep.
I wonder how if they're going to have, like, cover up the tattoos, maybe give him Aquaman, like, a kind of, like, I guess, Atlantean, like, tribal thing.
You know what? I actually would like to see... I would like to see Atlantis instead of it being, like, no, oh, he has... You know, obviously, Jason Momoa, he's, you know, dark eyes... Dark hair,
yeah,
brown dude. I would love to see Atlantis portrayed that on the whole.
Yeah,
just everyone being brown.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome.
Well, it would make more sense too if they kind of had like a more Polynesian look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that would be a nice route to go. It would actually give that community a great opportunity to be seen more on film, which is not something that happens very often.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, instead of like specific typecast roles, like when they go on location to Hawaii.
Yeah, or you know. When they need to play, like, mobsters in the Italian Job.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, we'll see how that goes. I mean, not too much else is known other than that casting.
Yeah.
So, I guess as we get closer to that, we'll hear more. But I think the one thing that was for sure is that he is going to be in Justice League Part 1, which I was like, I would hope so. Otherwise, yeah. You know, that'd be slim pickings for a cast if they only have 3 of the heroes. Especially because those 3 are already in the movie beforehand.
Exactly.
But you know what's interesting that I realize now is that there was no Man of Steel 2 sequel listed anywhere between now and 2020. At least not yet.
Come on. Come on. Like, come on. They're not going to do one. Especially, okay, with the way they're treating this next Man of Steel movie, like, they're not going to do another one. Especially since Batman is upstaging Superman in his own sequel.
Yeah.
And they're throwing a bunch of other Justice League characters in there. Is DC got wise to, okay, we can't push Superman. Superman is probably easily one of our least interesting heroes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can add humanity to Superman. You can paint him whatever way you want. You can give him all this moral dilemma. But, I mean, when the guy is almost impervious to anything but a rock from space...
He's also impervious to magic and retcons.
Exactly.
Or, he's susceptible to magic and retcons.
But even then, like... They're not going to be able to kind of, with especially with the gritty tone that they want. Because didn't you say that there's, like, this memo at DC where it's like, we will not make joke characters or add humor to any of our properties?
I don't know if that was an actual thing or if that was just what people on the internet just said.
Yeah.
But I think they're definitely straying away from the humor aspect after how Green Lantern was taken.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, to be honest, you could do a very good Man of Steel movie... Because he has such an interesting rogues gallery, people that can compete with him to where he's not necessarily as impervious as you would think. I mean, you could easily go the Brainiac route, you know?
You know, I would love to see freaking Brainiac come out and, like, you could, especially with the age that we live in, like, the internet age.
Yeah.
That would be freaking amazing to do a Brainiac movie. In fact, one of my favorite representations in all of, like, DC, you know, comicdom... is the opening to the really crappy DC Heroes MMO.
Okay.
That opening where it was like all the heroes, like the all the heroes and anti-heroes fighting and the villains and everything, and then like right after he kills Superman, like Brainiac comes down.
Yeah.
Like that was so awesome. That was like one of the best representations I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Especially with like the huge armored Batman like shooting missiles and crap and yeah. It's definitely
I'm surprised Brainiac isn't someone that they've tried. I know they're always tempted to do Zod because he's coming from Krypton in the first movie, but I would have actually really loved if they had maybe done that more flashback and less actually having Kryptonians still come out and had started things with a Brainiac film.
Yeah, or what they could do, what they might be doing is saving Brainiac for one of the Justice League films.
That could work. That I mean, I was reading something that I don't remember what I read. I've read so much, I don't even know what's truth and what's real, and it's really hard.
What was that fan fiction you were wanking to last night?
Yeah, or you're not even that. Like I feel like just watching Monday, I'm switching between Gotham and Raw that I have no idea what's going on anymore. I think James Gordon has an intercontinental title shot against Dolph Ziggler, but I'm not sure. Harvey Bullock may be in cahoots with Vince McMahon. Who knows?
Who knows at this point? My brain is scrambled.
It's scrambled like the eggs that I don't eat.
Yep.
Yeah. But like, I feel like people diss on Superman really hard because he's a very easy target because no matter how much you diss, like, it doesn't hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when done well, like, there's great depth to this character. Like, just read anything that Mark Waid has done of him. I know.
Red Sun.
Yeah, that's
that. My favorite. That's, like, probably my only and favorite representation of Superman.
You should read more Superman. But that one, I think, was done by Frank Miller, and that's a really cool alternate universe version of Superman. Or if you haven't read it, essentially, I guess, Superman lands Earth 8 hours later, so rather than landing in the United States, he lands in communist Russia, and you can see where things go from there.
Yeah. All I have to say is Green Lantern Marine Corps.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
And they still got their asses kicked.
They did. And then the Batman.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't just one Batman.
Batmanovich. Just add Ovich.
Ovich.
It's like, it's Michael Chaboyovich.
Mm-hmm.
You're Russian.
I could pass for Russian.
Yeah.
When I went to Europe, the French would not stop talking to me.
Yeah.
They, like, I was, like, standing in the middle of, like, Paddington Station.
Yeah.
And some French dude just came up and started talking in French to me. And I was just like, I'm sorry. I'm a dumb American. I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, and he wanted to trade me pounds for francs.
Yeah, for francs.
Even though they'd been using the euro for, like, years at that point.
Yeah.
Somewhere in my parents' house.
Maybe he was trying to get hot dogs.
Maybe.
Francs.
Yeah, I have some old francs just sitting in a box at my parents' house somewhere.
Yeah.
Just go knock on the door. Just
be like, hey, come knock on our door.
No, that's not a good idea.
No, that's not. But let's talk about what we researched before even doing this, is Black Adam.
Yeah, The Rock is playing Black Adam.
And retcons aside, he's a very interesting character.
Yeah, so I could not see anyone else playing. Like, after they cast that, I was like, yeah, I can't really see anyone else playing Black Adam.
Yeah.
I really can't.
It's one of those things where it's just perfect.
Yeah. And he said anti-hero, so I'm willing to bet that they're going to do... Because there's so many different iterations of Black Adam, as we learned, thanks to IGN.
Yes. Comic Book History 101.
Yep. Because we're fake geek guys. We don't know all our history.
Yeah.
I would love to see him as, like, that anti-hero of, like, oh, he's trying to protect his fictional nation, but he's not above killing people to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Which would probably be the best route.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially because when you see, like, Billy Batson, he's a very young boy, so he doesn't really... I guess for him, I guess the world is less gray than it would be for someone who's an adult. So for him, it's like, that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it'd be really, you know, he's very idealistic in that sense. So it'd be a nice contrast.
Yeah, he has that...
the innocence.
He's very naive.
Yeah.
Naivety?
I wouldn't say naive, but I feel like it's more he says that childish, like that child innocence about him.
He's naive. That's childlike innocence.
Evian? It's naive backwards, the water.
Yeah, because you gotta be naive to shell out $5 for a bottle of water.
That's why they do that, so when you take selfies with it, you can see how dumb you are.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but and I thought it was really funny, the video we watched, is because they show footage of The Rock as the Scorpion King, and I was like, oh, so is he just gonna, like, they're just gonna bring all the extras back? Hey, Rock, what's up? What's going on, guys?
What's going on? We got another one. Let's do this.
We got another one. Again? All right.
Yep. So yeah, I think it's gonna be great. I'm actually looking forward to that one.
I feel like out of all the movies pitched, that could easily be the best one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not even to like say anything against Jason Momoa or was it Ezra Miller who's been cast as the Flash?
Yeah.
Or what's his name? It's Ray something who's been cast as Cyborg. Ray Fisher. Who's been casted as Cyborg, or even Cavill, Affleck, or Godot. You know, I feel like The Rock being in wrestling, being both a face and a heel, mm-hmm. is just perfect being the centerpiece of the attention in any project.
Yeah.
Because of how well he can control a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and specifically, like he can be a good guy, but still be in your face. Because, like, you know, even when The Rock is a face, he's still somewhat of a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he makes it work so well.
I think if they do another, because obviously in one of the Justice League movies they're gonna have to do Lex Luthor. Who do you want to play Lex Luthor?
Well, they already have Lex Luthor. It's Jesse Eisenberg.
That's right.
Yeah, they already cast that a long time ago, my friend.
They did.
Yeah. Although I would have been more than okay with not Spacey, but Rosenbaum.
Hmm.
Okay. But from Smallville, but you know, this is never how it works. Speaking of which, I always think it's really interesting that there was a what's his face. Rosenbaum actually played the Flash in that Justice League cartoon.
Yeah, he did.
I always liked his interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to show you a best of Flash clip. I was supposed to show you something else, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I like how every time I come, like there's like half an hour that we spend before we start recording of just like you showing me crap.
Yeah.
And then throughout the week, because like I read a bunch of like nerd stuff, and I go on all these websites and read articles and things like that.
Yeah.
Then I'm always like, oh, I should bring that up during the podcast.
Well, you should.
And then it's always until like after we're done recording that I'm like, ah, crap, I forgot about this thing, or like, I never write it down.
Yeah, I just use the app on my phone for Notepad and just write things down. But this week, I think I accidentally deleted the document, so I kind of text like piece it all together like last minute, mm-hmm. like literally when you asked what's on the agenda, I was like, this stuff. Like, this is all big news.
Yep.
This is big news. It's important.
It's big news.
It's very big news. It's big like news.
And with that, I think we've reached the breaking point.
So listen to this song by Who Knows Who, and we'll be back in a minute.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
talk about hoverboards. So,
I like how you totally brought us back, and I was like on my phone.
That's usually what happens. But anyway, so there's some recent development in the hoverboard territory, which is very important because 2015, we're all supposed to be living in this futuristic utopia as seen in Back to the Future 2.
The motorcycle just drove by.
Yeah, some guy was really tough. Anyway, so there's a Kickstarter going on, and it's, I think they're trying to raise, what, $250,000?
Yeah, they're only asking for $250,000.
Yeah, but that's just to make the prototype, to get things underway. And I guess from that prototype, they're supposed to pitch that to a company to, like, help mass produce.
Yeah, to get some actual capital and start mass producing them. Basically, they work on some kind of mysterious magnet motor that only works, on metal surfaces.
Yeah. And so, right, like, the name of the company is Hendo, mm-hmm. Hendo Hover. They're located in Los Gatos, California, which I believe is in NorCal. And they at this current moment, the thing's only been going on for, like, less than a week.
And they already have over half.
Yeah, so this is something that's definitely going to get funded.
Oh, definitely.
Now, what I think is really cool is that this really changes the whole landscape of how we travel. Yeah. Or this will begin to transform the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we'll obviously start hoverboard, you go to hover car, and, you know, even hover horse.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. I have completely accepted the fact that we live in the future.
Yeah.
So... We are basically, the only thing we haven't mastered yet is space travel.
Yeah.
And it's only because the powers that be that control pretty much most of the world don't want us leaving the planet.
Just yet.
Because they haven't figured out a way to capitalize on it.
This is true.
That being said, whenever new technologies like this or, you know, cool, awesome things like this start coming out, I always get very, very cynical about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because... I feel that unless some rich white dude sitting in a boardroom can't figure out a way to fleece everyone else for this technology, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we may be sitting here thinking about, like, oh, hover cars and hover this and hover that, but until every last drop of oil on this planet is depleted,
yeah,
we're not going to get any new, like, mass-produced innovations. I mean, because the, it was the governor of one of those states back east just signed a bill... banning Tesla Motors from selling their cars in that state.
Yeah.
All because his oil company backers don't like the fact that there's an electric car that can compete directly with their business model.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's this is almost the same exact thing, that there are going to be so many car manufacturers and other, people who don't want this to be mass-produced and available to the public, but you sure as hell bet that DARPA's going to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
That the Department of Defense is going to get their hands on it. So, yeah, I would love to see this project get funded, but I, just being the cynical old bastard that I am, I don't have very high hopes for me or my children to be able to use this product.
Listen, that's some McFly talk. We don't talk like that in the Tannen household.
Yeah. Instead, we go into parking lots and try and rape women.
This is true. But, That's Grandpa Tannen. That's old Tannen lifestyle. I'm talking about new Tannen.
New Tannen.
We're just jackasses.
We're just okay.
But we don't go into that. We understand that that's not appropriate. But beating up McFlys, that's A-OK.
Okay.
All right.
Just being a dick.
Yeah. All right, Jif.
All right, Jif. My name is Jif Tannen. I'm named after a fucking peanut butter.
Well, it was either that or I named you Spliff Tannen, but you don't smoke enough weed for that name.
I would have to smoke weed at all.
What are the other Tannens? The Jif Tannen, Spliff Tannen,
Tiff Tannen.
Tiff Tannen. That would be awesome. Like, if they made a Back to the Future 4 that wasn't horrible, wherein it's like the next incarnation of McFly is there's a female antagonist.
Yeah.
You know, Tiff Tannen. She's just like this statuesque, like, blonde that just pummels the shit out of, like, the latest McFly.
I think she should be like this Amazonian bodybuilder. Like, she's just super gorgeous, but also just like, I'm going to crush you.
Like, I'm going to... maybe not, like, super, like, super bubbly, a very strong, maybe like a CrossFit type person.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
Like we were talking about hoverboards, and now we're talking about...
You can't talk about hoverboards and not devolve into a conversation about Back to the Future.
Well, they actually also, another company that's backed by Legendary Studios and another big, huge Google.
Yeah.
And they've come up with a augmented reality glasses.
Yeah, okay.
That were... I was watching Nerdist News because I, you know, I, for one, like Jessica Choba. I think she's cool. And I saw, like, the little video reel that they showed.
Yeah.
And you, like, can hold a little elephant in your hands.
Cool.
And it just...
I want to be a giant.
Yeah, like, the glasses actually project... Instead of projecting onto the actual screen, like, so you're watching an image on the glasses on your hands, it projects it into your actual fucking eyeballs.
Cool.
So, it's all very mysterious on how it does this, but the CEO of Legendary... he tried it and he gave a testimonial saying it was really, really, like, surreal and very it was jarring, he said.
Yeah. When are they going to introduce smell-o-vision?
I think that's just too far. I think it's just something we don't need.
It is not. It is definitely something we don't need. It would be nice, though.
Yeah. It's like going to see, like, Shrek 4D at Universal Studios, and it's just, like, squirting you in the face with, like, water and air and stuff, and you're just like, I don't need this. What?
Yeah. The next Tannen. Whiff Tannen.
Whiffed.
Very flatulent.
Are we just gonna make, like, a Nutty Professor 2, but with the Tannen family?
Yes.
The Tannens.
But they're like, but they're more, they're portrayed like the O'Doyles from Billy Madison. Tannen rules.
Tannen rules. That's terrible. We don't need that. If you're listening, any Universal, if you're listening to this podcast, just erase all of that from your memory.
I think they're taking notes. If not, Adam Sandler is, and he's going to buy the rights to the name Tannen.
And he's going to make that movie.
He's going to make it.
Fucking Adam Sandler.
Back to the Future 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Tannen, it has to be an alliteration, so it'd be like, what, Tannen, Tannentastrophe? I don't know.
Tannentastrophe?
Yeah.
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, so, hoverboards.
Did you just throw mustard out of your pocket?
Yeah, I was, like, feeling something squishy in my pocket.
And you just pulled out mustard packets out of...
I got them at work.
You know what? You've come a long way since high school, right? Yeah. Like, you used to be, like, this... You used to be Jabba the Mondo.
Yeah.
The guy who ate the quarter Slatterthin Ranch.
Yeah.
The guy who ate tons of creamer packets at Denny's at one time.
Yeah.
Who chugged a bottle of Cholula.
Yeah.
Who one time drank an entire bottle of Snapple before our friend even finished counting down from three.
Yeah.
And then you're now like, oh, I lift all the time. I go to the gym. I'm a vegan. I'm super healthy. I'm handsome as hell. Blah, blah. But then you do shit like that where you pull fucking mustard out of your pocket. And I'm like, old Mondo's still in there somewhere.
He's like, help me!
He's like, he's just in this fat cage. He's just... And you keep poking him with a stick.
You make me sound like a Majin Buu.
You pretty much... You ate Fat Mondo. Yeah, and you just keep him locked in this cage somewhere down on this base level. Because I know, like, even though you're super vegan and you don't, like, want to even look at meat,
There's
still some part of you that sees, like, a double cheeseburger, and you're just like, there was a time.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. So, enough about my mustard and the Tannens and hoverboards.
Just fucking pull mustard packets out of your pocket.
They were squishy. They felt weird.
It's just like it was nothing. Like, it was just like, oh yeah, that's the fucking whatever. You just like threw them on the... Like, you didn't even bother to put them up on the desk.
What else am
or
I
on
gonna
the counter behind
else,
you.
What else am I going to do with them?
You just fucking like threw them on the floor. Like, oh yeah, whatever. It's just...
That's where mustard belongs.
On the fucking floor. Okay. Sorry.
Yes.
You know whenever you kick the thing, it makes a noise on the mic, right?
Yeah, but it's not too bad.
Okay.
So let's get on our serious topic, final topic. And we don't have to talk about it too long, but I feel like it's something we should at least address once on this show because it's a very big deal, and that is the Gamergate situation with all the different death threats and the rape threats and the douchebaggery and
it's not the different, though. Essentially, it's all the same. It's the same assholes who have been threatening Anita Sarkeesian, who have been threatening Lacey Green, who's not even involved in the gaming community, who have been threatening Zoe Quinn since the first time that these ladies have stepped out onto the spotlight.
Yeah.
And it's the same... I mean, I hate to use the stereotype, but these same pathetic fucking neckbeards who sit on 4chan, who sit in the fucking depths of Reddit, and who just basically... You know, before I go on an angry tirade, before I get... before I start just adding more fuel to the fire, because this is all my Twitter feed has been... I left Twitter for a while. Like, I was gone for over a month.
You were?
Due to some relationship... BS.
Yes, you. That was the case.
And I'd recently came back. I have like 3 followers now.
Yep.
And I had like the Beastie Boys and Mandy Statmiller following me before. Like, I'm really disappointed because, like,
yeah, you've gone downhill.
One of my favorite, you know, columnists and the fucking Beastie Boys were following me.
Yeah.
And now
that's your own fucking fault, man.
No one. But anyways, and I came back and this basically just my entire feed. The people I've followed, most of the same people, and it has all been Gamergate bullshit. And for those of you who may not know, if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously know about Gamergate. At first, they were this group of guys from like Reddit and 4chan who were rallying for journalistic integrity. Essentially, this game developer who had been dating fellow game developer Zoe Quinn, who I know on a personal level, who I love very much, who essentially saved my life with her game Depression Quest. She dated this guy, and the relationship ended badly, and being the little whiny bitch that he was, he took to the internet to tell all these lies about her. And the already rabid anti-Zoe Quinn base that's out there on some of these websites ate it all up. They just fucking just ate it all up and used it as an excuse to attack her and any other woman out there in the gaming space. And essentially, he said that she had slept with a game reviewer and cheated on him in order to get good reviews for a game, which is completely unfounded, never happened. The reviewer never even put out a review for the game that he called in question. It's basically, this guy was a jilted lover who was embittered and decided to tell a bunch of lies about his ex in order to get back at her. So... first, it started off as basically them all attacking Zoe Quinn. And when she suddenly turned around and grew fangs and was like, hey, you motherfuckers, you need to stop, and started showing everyone how shitty they were, it essentially turned into them being, oh, no, 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 we're not just attacking Zoe Quinn. We're just here for journalistic integrity, and we are tired of the games press being so close to the games industry. But you'll notice that not once did any of these Gamergaters during this point in time ever go after companies like Activision, like Ubisoft, like any of the, like EA, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You know, companies that literally buy good reviews,
yeah,
who will send out these press packets to reviewers and say, we will fly you out, all expenses paid, to our base in LA or in wherever the hell we're located. We're going to put you up in a hotel, we're going to pay for all your meals, and we're going to give you a sneak peek at whatever big AAA title we're working on. But here's the catch. You have to release it when we say you release it, and you got to say something nice about it. You can't say anything negative. You can say something neutral about it, but if you say anything negative, we're going to blacklist you, and all the other publishers aren't going to say anything to you as well. I mean, people like Jim Sterling have been blacklisted by companies like Konami,
yeah,
that exist on another fucking continent because he spoke out against their shitty business practices.
Yeah.
And you don't see any of these Gamergaters speaking out against practices like that. Instead, they're the same misogynistic assholes who are either afraid and or angry at women and want to blame women for all their problems and all the problems in the gaming industry. And I'm not here to say the gaming industry doesn't have problems. It has tons of fucking problems. Believe me. When a studio can make a game as large and expansive, as in-depth as L.A. Noire, and then go fucking bankrupt right after the game launches, you know the game industry has problems.
Yes, it's true.
But the thing is, they're directing all this anger, all this hate at women. And this idea that, oh, we're for journalistic integrity, and now they're bitching about, oh, we're anti-bullying. It's all a shield. It's all a blanket. And they're basically like this leaderless splinter cell terrorist group.
And I want to give them
They officially made it on the list of hate groups.
Yeah.
Like, up there with the KKK and stuff.
That's why I was like, I remember reading that part. So I was like, actually, no, you're in the right.
And basically what they're doing is they're using all of this as a blanket excuse in order to attack women in the gaming community. And here's the deal. I'm not going to go on this vicious... I'm going to stop going on a vicious rampage. And I'm going to talk really frankly for a second. And I know I get really angry, and I know I go on these rants sometimes.
Yeah. The Flash remembers.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I get it. I get it, guys. You were lied to. By every movie you ever saw growing up, by every TV show you ever watched, by every comic book, by every regular book, by every bit of media that you consumed from a very young age, you were told that you were the star of your own little movie, and that the star of the movie always gets the girl, always comes out on top. The underdog always wins and has the hot chick of his dreams on his arm by the end. And then you got to your mid to late teens, early 20s, and you realize that that's not the way the world works.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we were lied to. I'm sorry that so many of these writers that grew up during the 70s and 80s, who were disenfranchised and beat up and bullied, ended up writing all these picturesque fantasies where we, the nerd or the underdog or the person who doesn't quite belong or the video gamer, comes out on top in the end and gets the girl. I'm sorry that we saw the John McClanes and the Sylvester Stallones and, you know, every fucking episode of Dawson's Creek and all this shit that taught us that as long as we're the nice guy and we just go through our lives trying to do the best that we can, we're going to come out on top in the end and we're going to get the girl. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And I know we're all angry.
Also, when was John McClane a nice guy?
We got the girl in the end.
Yeah, but he wasn't a nice guy. If anything, he's the antithesis to what you're arguing against. But that's another story.
Well, you know, I'm using him as an example, as we all fashion ourselves as a star, as our own little personal movie, and we all want to be the badass, quipping one-liners and getting the chick in the end.
Oh, I am.
Well.
I'm not, but...
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm sorry that we were lied to. But instead of focusing all this rage and anger, which, yeah, we should be angry. We should be angry that the powers that be pretty much warped our minds into believing that once we got to a certain age and we tried, you know, the mediocre amount, that we were entitled to the hot blonde and the awesome, you know, story and the one-liners and crap. We should be angry, but instead of focusing that anger on women, we should be focusing it on the powers that be. We should be using that anger and that voice that we have and focusing on making a positive change in our world. And attacking women like Anita Sarkeesian and Zoe Quinn and even people who aren't even involved in the nerdosphere, like Lacey Green, who's just trying to give a good sexual education to people, and attacking them and threatening to go on mass shootings where these women speak and revealing private personal details about these women's lives to the general public so that they are afraid for their lives in their own homes. That's just not right. And we need to stop. We need to stop and realize that this isn't right. And then if you are a Gamergate supporter and you're listening to this podcast, I urge you to seriously think about why you're supporting Gamergate. And if you genuinely do want to see an effective change in the video game industry or in nerd culture in general, I urge you to stop supporting Gamergate and find a new cause to rally yourself behind. Rally yourself behind the good things like Child's Play. It is an amazing charity that, yeah, you know, people like Mike Rahulik and Jerry Holkins, who have had a spotty pass and previously, have put together and has totally become something completely awesome and separate from Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
And it brings the joy of gaming to children who otherwise would not be able to experience it. That is something to get behind. You know, nerd culture in general, not just the gaming sphere, is a place of inclusivity. We've all been outcasts in one point in time. We've all been the kid that was made fun of. I mean, I'm fucking 27 years old and I love Pokemon. And I say that shit and I work in a warehouse. One of the most machista, you know, oh, you're a fag, you know, for liking anything or not wanting to talk about women's tits 24/7, you know, environments. And yeah, as a fucking adult, when I'm like, yeah, dude, I sat at home and played Pokemon all weekend, I get made fun of. But you better fucking believe that when another person at that warehouse... Sorry, I just spit on you, Mondo.
I didn't feel it.
When another person in that warehouse talks about liking something nerdy, and it's not something that I personally enjoy, or they don't have as much knowledge about something that I have, I am sure as hell going to make sure that by the end of that conversation, they are going to be excited, and they are going to want to know as much as I do, and I'm going to help, hopefully have left them with a little bit more knowledge. I'm going to share my passion for the things that I love with them instead of making fun of them for not knowing as much as I do. We need to stop this, just in general, in nerd culture in general. We need to be more inclusive, and we need to include everyone, because when more people like the things that we love, that means there's more people we can share those things with. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, yeah, we have that BS where, you know, a couple sponsors freaked out and pulled some advertising from a website because Gamer Gators, you know, spoke up and pretty much, you know, rallied against them. But you know what? We need to take that rage, that anger. You guys got someone like Adobe, yeah, one of the biggest tech companies in the world, to pull advertising from a website over something as trivial as they supported a feminist gamer and game developer. We could be using that rage, that focus, to get EA to stop fucking nickeling and diming us for every goddamn DLC and little... I wouldn't want to fucking play Battlefield and have to pay fucking $1.50 for every new fucking gun that comes out every other weekend. We should be going after Activision and telling them, hey, stop releasing a new fucking Call of Duty every 6 months. Slow it down. How about make some changes to the fucking formula? We should be going after publishers like Rockstar and saying, hey, how about you stop running your little indie developers and publishers into the fucking ground after every game that they make for you? That's the things we should be focusing on if we want to have a lot of rage and anger. We shouldn't be focusing on alienating some of the people that are going to bring the coolest things that we can possibly have in nerd culture, not just game culture.
Yeah. That was a lot.
That was. My voice hurts.
It does. And we're going to wrap it up with that. Michael's powerful speech was quite intense. I was slightly moved. I don't even really play video games that much anymore because of the kind of culture behind it. Not to say that comic books is pure, by any means, definitely not, but it, I feel like it's less antagonistic, but that's for another episode altogether. This was running a little bit behind, so we want to say thank you for listening, but before we do go, we'll talk more about this as the news develops, but as Michael was going into his specific little tirade before it became a motivational speech, I was reading on the Mary Sue that as of today, DC is really on fucking Marvel's tail right now. They just greenlit 3 digital series, like online series.
Huh.
One is an untitled Mortal Kombat project.
Okay.
One is like, it's not really announced. It's Warner Brothers, not so much DC. But then the third one is a Static Shock live action TV show.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I loved Static. Well, before the later season.
I love Static.
Yeah.
You're
I love Static Shock. Before the later seasons, where it got kind of weird.
I like those later seasons.
Where, like, his friend got powers, too.
He didn't get powers. He always had powers. His powers were more subtle.
He had all the gadgets and stuff.
No, he made that, but his power was just enhanced intelligence.
Yeah.
So he was like a prodigy. Mm-hmm. So when he just happened to be, like, that's why he was really angry for two reasons. He was angry because, like, out of all the powers I get... I get, like, this... Okay, I'm smart. Everyone has, like, flamethrowing, or mm-hmm. you have, like, this ability to shock stuff, like, you know, control electricity, and yeah. I'm just a brain. But then he also got mad because, like, well, how much of what I do on my own is me being intelligent, and how much of it is my powers? And I actually thought, if you rewatch it, it's actually really good. Maybe at the time, it was a little weird, but when you watch it, like, wow, that's actually kind of deep.
I don't know. I didn't really care for the later seasons. But, hey, I love Static Shock, so I'm excited to see the live-action Static Shock.
So we'll see how that goes. But that there's not really much going on other than that it's announced. And with that, we bid you so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, au revoir.
Bye, guys.